Thank you for tuning in to Finish the Fight, a gaming podcast. If you have not, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/finishthefight, where we have some amazing merch and plenty of other things for you guys.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome back to Finish the Fight, a gaming podcast,
where we produce and develop the highest quality gaming research in podcast form.
I am your host, Alex Kendall.
And I am your host, Derek Baker.
And today we're talking about the resurgence or kind of restructuring of horror gaming. We're going to be talking about none other than Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, man, you know me. I've not been shy about this. Scary games and me, we really just don't jive. So I'm going to be talking about this game a little bit more from like an outsider viewership perspective. But It is really cool. I do enjoy watching the gameplay. I think if I was in the scenario of playing it, I'd just a little too spooky for your old pal Derek.
Yeah, and it really was one of those games that came out, took the world by storm, and created all these kind of officially licensed clones in a way. We see with like Friday the 13th, we see in Texas Chainsaw, we've seen a couple others that are trying to emulate what Dead by Daylight can do and the fan base that it achieved. So let's jump right into it, and we'll talk a bit more for those who might be unfamiliar. Dead by Daylight is an online, asymmetric, multiplayer survival horror video game developed and published by Canadian studio Behavior Interactive. It is a 1v4 game in which one player takes on the role of a killer and the other four play as survivors. The killer must impale each survivor on a sacrificial hook to appease a malevolent force known as the Entity, while the survivors have to avoid being caught and power up the exit gates by working together to fix 5 generators. The game was released for Windows in 2016, for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in 2017, for Switch in 2019, and for Android, iOS, PS5, Stadia, and Xbox Series X and S in 2020. It became Steam Deck verified in 2023, and Swedish studio Starbreeze Studios published the game on behalf of Behavior from 2016 until 2018, when Behavior bought the publishing rights. Italian company 505 Games publishes the Nintendo Switch version, while Austrian company Deep Silver publishes physical copies for the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. Dead by Daylight received mixed reviews upon release, but was a commercial success. It has since attracted more than 60 million players and improved its ratings. In 2023, it was announced that production companies Blumhouse Productions and Atomic Monster had begun developing a film adaptation.
So let's go ahead and jump over to the studio, sort of how they came about and eventually what led them to making Dead by Daylight. The company was founded in 1992 in Quebec City as Megatoon. 2 years later, the company's current CEO and executive producer, Remy Racine, co-founded the Montreal-based Multimedia Interactive, or MMI, to develop interactive entertainment software for CD-ROM. Both companies were sold to Malifilm Communications in 1996, and a year later they were merged into Behavior Interactive with Racine as general manager. In 1997, the studio released Jersey Devil on PlayStation and later Windows. The 3D platformer was the first console game made entirely in Quebec. Distributed by Sony, Jersey Devil caught the eye of Infogrames Entertainment, which approached Behavior to produce what would become Bugs Bunny Lost in Time, which was released in 1999. Later in 1999, Racine and some investors bought the studio back, but they had to rename it, changing the name in 2000 to Artificial Mind and Movement Incorporated, or A2M. As A2M, the studio continued its work for hire projects, producing titles for clients including Konami, Sony Computer Entertainment, Ubisoft, Disney Interactive Studios, Nintendo, EA, and Activision. In November 2008, the company acquired Santiago-based Wanaco Games from Activision Blizzard, which was the first and largest South American game studio. As A2M, the studio maintained its focus on producing original titles, releasing Scalar in 2004, Wet in 2009, and Naughty Bear in 2010. This last title had more than 800,000 console unit sales and laid the groundwork for the studio's 2016 breakthrough original game, Dead by Daylight.
Now, when it comes to the gameplay of Dead by Daylight, as we know, it's an asymmetrical horror game. So what that means is that the camera is in one position. For the survivors, it is a third-person view. For the killer, it is a first-person view. And as we had said, one person is the killer and the other four are survivors. Matches are referred to as trials. The survivor's objective is to escape the trial by repairing 5 of 7 generators scattered throughout it to power the 2 exit gates. The killer must impale all survivors on hooks before they escape, which will cause them to be sacrificed to a malevolent force known as the Entity. And with different killers too, you can get some special kills that aren't necessarily on the hook, but you can kind of do some little flashy moves. If only one survivor remains, an escape hatch opens at a random location on the map. If the killer closes the hatch or an exit gate is opened, the 2-minute endgame collapse begins, with the timer being extended if there are any incapacitated or hooked survivors. When the timer ends, any remaining survivors are immediately sacrificed to the Entity. When hunting survivors, the killer must capture them by either striking them with their weapon twice and picking them up off the ground while they are in the dying state. One strike injures the survivors and a second puts them in that dying state. Or by grabbing them in one move by catching them unexpectedly while they interact with objects such as generators, climbing through windows, various other things. Although survivors can attempt to pull themselves free of the hook the first time they are impaled, there's only a 3% chance of success, and failed attempts lead to a faster death. They can also be saved by other survivors. If they are hooked a second time, they enter a phase in which they must resist the Entity as it attempts to take them out of the game by performing skill checks until they are either killed or rescued. If they are hooked a third time, they will be sacrificed to the Entity.
The survivor's movement options consist of sprinting, walking, crouch walking, or crawling if they are in dying state. They must elude the killer by losing their line of sight in a chase or by successfully hiding from them. Most killers can move at a pace that is moderately faster than that of a sprinting survivor, but are slower in other movements, such as vaulting obstacles, which can buy survivors time. Survivors can throw down wooden pallets placed at key locations on the map, and if the killer is close enough to the pallet when the survivor throws it down, they will be stunned for a brief moment. The survivor can then vault over the down pallet, but most killers cannot. It must either spend time to break the pallet or go around it. The killer also has an aura reading ability, constantly revealing the location of generators, hooks, and sometimes survivors. Every killer has their own unique power that can be altered using add-ons obtained through gameplay. A significant amount of the gameplay revolves around chases, with survivors using their environment and wits to outmaneuver the killer and escape them, or at least buy time for their allies to complete objectives. Survivors can unlock chests to find useful items or bring items at the start of the trial, such as maps that highlight the locations of objectives, keys that can be used for certain aura reading abilities, or reopening a closed escape hatch, toolboxes for quicker generator repairs, med kits for quicker healing, and flashlights that can be used to blind the killer temporarily. The latter, if the killer is carrying a survivor, will let that survivor escape. All killers have an innate terror radius that surrounds them. Although the size of the terror radius varies depending on the killer, the state of the killer's power, and what add-ons or perks they may have. Survivors inside the radius will hear a heartbeat, which increases in intensity with proximity to the killer. They can also see a red light called the red stain emanating from the killer's head onto the ground, which reveals the direction they're facing and can help the survivors determine when the killer is about to come around a corner. Some killers have the ability to suppress their terror radius and red stain under certain conditions, enabling them to surprise unaware survivors.
Survivor interactions with many objects in the game can trigger random skill checks. The player can either perform a good skill check, which has no additional effect, a great skill check, which speeds up the progression of the action the player is taking, or a failed skill check, which usually notifies the killer of the survivor's location and may also cause a loss of progress. Great skill checks require more precision and may not always be possible depending on the type of interaction or the perks being used by either the survivor or the killer. Killers have the ability to damage generators, which will slightly regress their repair progress and continue regressing progress slowly until a survivor resumes repairing it for at least a few seconds and may trigger certain perks. If the killer catches a survivor, the killer can pick them up and carry them to one of the many sacrificial hooks scattered throughout the map. While being carried, the survivor can attempt to wiggle out of the killer's grasp by successfully hitting consecutive skill checks before they reach the hook. When a survivor is hooked, they gain a hook stage up to a maximum of 3 stages. When they're hooked the first time, they can wait to be rescued or attempt to unhook themselves. If they are left too long or hooked again, they will progress to the second stage, during which they have to succeed at skill checks before another survivor rescues them. If a survivor is hooked a third time or left long enough to progress to the third stage, they are sacrificed and removed from the match.
Once 5 generators are repaired, the exit gates are powered, allowing survivors to open the gates and escape from the match. The game only ends when all survivors have either escaped or died. Thus, while some survivors may escape and finish early, those still inside must keep playing. Players who have escaped or died have the ability to cycle through the remaining players' points of view as a spectator or return to the main menu. If only one survivor remains, repairing generators is typically not practical. When the other 3 survivors have escaped or have died, an escape hatch will appear somewhere throughout the map. If the survivor finds this hatch first, they may escape through it, but if the killer finds it first, then they can close it. If the killer closes the hatch, the exit gates become powered as though the generator objective was completed, allowing the remaining survivor a way to escape the trial.
Survivors and killers each have the option to use up to 4 perks in their loadout, which gives their characters special abilities. Perks differ between survivors and killers. A survivor perk may not be used by killers and vice versa. Examples of survivor perks include a burst of speed when running from the killer, the ability to self-heal without a medkit, briefly sabotaging sacrificial hooks without a toolbox, and many more. Examples of killer perks include seeing survivors through walls, hindering the effects of struggling survivors while taking them to a hook, preventing generators from being worked on, regressing generators, speeding up the recovery from a missed basic attack, and many more. There are a number of general perks that start unlocked for any character to learn. Additionally, each specific character starts off with a set of 3 perks that are unique to them. Perks, add-ons, and items can be unlocked through the Blood Web, a skill tree where each character can spend in-game currency. Advancing to level 50 in a character's Blood Web allows the player to prestige that particular character. Doing so resets the character back to level 1 and unlocks the next tier or level of the character's unique perks to every other character owned of the same role if there is a higher tier.
And obviously a big part of the horror genre is the setting itself. It adds to the scariness. It also adds to the environment and what the players are able to use. So let's talk a little bit about that and the scenario. A group of 4 survivors must elude one killer obsessed with sacrificing them on hooks to a malevolent being called the Entity. The survivors' perspectives are third person, while most killers' perspectives are first person. The survivors can only fight back by stunning the killer or using items such as flashlights to blind them. Survivors can also vault over obstacles much faster than the killer, providing a means of escape. Survivors use these obstacles and tools to help them elude the killer for as long as they can. In order to escape, survivors must repair 5 of the 7 generators scattered across the map to power up the exit gates. They must then open the exit gates and escape through them. Repairing generators can be made quicker with items such as toolboxes, or if the player repairs a generator alongside other survivors, or if certain perks are equipped to help the process along. And as far as the plot, the Entity, an eldritch horror that exists between dimensions, is attracted to actions of great violence and malice. The majority of killers, most of whom are serial murderers or victims of terrible tragedy, are pulled out of reality by the entity and convinced or forced to do its bidding. In order to maintain its existence, the entity requires sacrifices and demands that they hunt and kill the survivors so it can feed off of their emotions and steal a piece of their souls upon death. In order to continue this hunt, the entity blocks off the gateways of death and puts the survivors into a dreamlike state that leads them back to the entity's purgatory-esque world to get hunted again. The survivors are pulled into the entity's constructed world when they wander into the woods or explore abandoned buildings, disappearing from the real world without a trace. More recent survivors have entered through other methods, such as being taken right before they die or sending themselves there using witchcraft. They end up at a campfire in the woods, where they rest between trials until a killer pursues them again. Each trial takes place in a series of realms constructed by the entity of areas related to each killer's history. Escaping from the grounds always takes the survivors back to the campfire, and offerings can be created to be burnt at it and appeal to the entity. Since the entity feeds off of survivors' hopes of escaping, it helps them just as much as it helps killers, acting as an impartial observer of the hunt and stepping in only to claim those successfully sacrificed to it. Each original survivor and killer also has their own individual backstory, which explains their personality and their unique abilities, along with how they end up in the realm of the entity. These backstories are expanded in tomes, where completing in-game challenges unlocks more information. These tomes are released every few months alongside a battle pass known as the Rift.
Now, one of the biggest things that I think really improved that score of the game overall and kept drawing people to it was the DLC. Alongside original characters, the game licenses characters and settings from several franchises. As of February 2024, the game has featured 37 individual DLC releases in total. Most DLC releases include both a new survivor and killer, except for 8 where only one character was introduced, and 4 where 3 characters were introduced. 24 of the DLCs released have also introduced new maps that are accessible to all players. The DLCs release with an average of 3 months between each one. Prior to the release of every DLC since The Clown, a public test build, or the PTB, becomes available to PC players, which allows the developers of the game to test and receive community feedback on major upcoming changes. Once the PTB has been out for roughly 2 weeks, it is disabled for further maintenance on the upcoming DLC, such as bug fixing and adding missing features. The estimated time span between the opening of the PTB and a new DLC's release is approximately 2 to 3 weeks, and the DLC typically releases a few days after the shutdown of the PTB. 16 of the currently released DLCs have featured licensed killers and survivors from both popular horror franchises and other video games. The DLCs can be acquired by either purchasing them normally through Steam, or non-licensed characters can be purchased through a shop within the game using an in-game currency called Iridescent Shards. This alternative way of obtaining the DLCs was introduced in the 2.0 update. Each DLC has its own trailer and a so-called spotlight that exhibits the killer and survivor, as well as a new in-game map. The relevant DLC does not need to be purchased in order for any map to be played on. 3 DLCs, The Last Breath, Left Behind, and A Lullaby for the Dark, have been distributed for free.
In August 2021, Behavior announced that the Stranger Things DLC, including individual characters from the DLC and their cosmetics, would no longer be available for purchase after November 17th, and that the Hawkins National Laboratory map would be removed from rotation. All characters from the DLC, as well as their cosmetics, remain usable by players who purchased them before the removal date. On November 6, 2023, Behavior announced that all Stranger Things content would be returning to the game. In October 2021, Behavior collaborated with Boss Protocol to release the Pinhead character model as an NFT. This led to criticism from players, with Steam reviews of the DLC falling down to a mostly negative rating. However, it was later revealed that Behavior gave license holders access to character models, and that the license holder had collaborated to create the NFTs using the in-game Pinhead model without Behavior's involvement. In addition to DLCs, other collaborations have resulted in purely cosmetic items being added to existing characters. Collaborations with Crypt TV and Attack on Titan added cosmetic items to original characters in order to make them resemble characters from those franchises. Collaborations with real people have resulted in cosmetic items inspired by rock bands Iron Maiden and Slipknot, as well as actor Nicolas Cage being a playable survivor. Cosmetic items have also been added from video game franchises such as For Honor, Meet Your Maker, PUBG Battlegrounds, and Rainbow Six Siege.
Now, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, we also had a mobile release of this game. And on June 19th, 2019, Behavior Interactive Inc. announced the plan to release Dead by Daylight to iOS and Android for free in an attempt to make the game more accessible to players around the world. A different development team was formed that is fully dedicated to optimizing the game for the mobile experience. Dead by Daylight Mobile was initially slated for launch in 2019. However, the devs had to push the release to 2020, citing their need for more time to work on bugs and optimization. On February 27, 2019, Behavior announced that the mobile versions will be published by Chinese video game publisher NetEase Games in Southeast Asia, Japan, and Korea. It was released in EMEA, the Americas, and South Asia on April 16, 2020. In its 48 hours of release, Dead by Daylight Mobile outnumbered 1 million downloads. And by October 2020, the game surpassed 10 million downloads. By May of 2022, it reached 25 million. And in December of 2022, Behavior Interactive announced that an improved global version is being developed cooperatively by Behavior Interactive and NetEase Games. They removed the old global version from the mobile storefronts on December 16, 2022, and announced that the improved global version will be released in February of 2023. Unfortunately, it was delayed by 1 month, and finally, the improved global version was released on March 15, 2023.
Dead by Daylight has become increasingly popular in Japan due to Behavior catering to Japanese players, with the release of Japanese-themed chapters like The Shattered Bloodline and The Cursed Legacy, as well as expanding the lore of its in-game universe, which the Japanese gaming community tends to favor in video games. In return, the country has become one of the biggest markets for the game, becoming so popular that a Dead by Daylight-themed entity cafe opened on the fourth floor of the Tokyo Skytree in August of 2021. Original Dead by Daylight characters and items have appeared in other video games, including Death Garden, Meet Your Maker, Move or Die, Payday 2, and Rainbow Six Siege. For Payday 2, Dead by Daylight initially launched with an optional deluxe edition for an additional price, which granted cosmetics for Payday 2, as well as a discount for Payday 2 owners who pre-ordered the game. From October 21st to November 11th, 2021, a Dead by Daylight crossover event called Survivors of the Fog was held in Ubisoft's fighting game For Honor. The event featured Dead by Daylight-inspired cosmetic items and a limited-time game mode that featured the Trapper as an AI-controlled enemy. From October 21st to November 7th, 2022, PUBG Battlegrounds featured a crossover event with Dead by Daylight, which saw the traditionally Battle Royale game introduce a new mode in which players would repair generators and escape from the killer, alongside cosmetics that emulate certain survivors and killers from the game. The mobile port of Battlegrounds, New State Mobile, also received a similar event. By playing at least one match of the special PUBG game mode, players were given a unique code for use in Dead by Daylight to receive the cosmetic set.
Now, I do want to bring up a couple of spin-offs and other media this is in, as Derek had brought up, like this has been such an insane gaming sphere for Japan and for a lot of players all over the world that we're starting to see it in a couple other games in and of itself. So the first we have is Hooked on You, a Dead by Daylight dating sim, is a visual novel dating simulator game released on August 3rd, 2022. In 2021, Behavior Interactive held a survey regarding Dead by Daylight, with one of the questions asked of the fans was about what type of genre they would like the company to explore in the future featuring Dead by Daylight's characters. One of the possible options was a dating sim. And on February 22nd, 2022, it was discovered that on February 16th, Behavior Interactive had filed a trademark for a project titled Hooked on You, a Dead by Daylight dating sim. The description for the trademark states that it covers video games as well as comic books and graphic novels. The game received an official announcement on May 17th, 2022, during a developer livestream and officially released later that year on August 3rd. The dating sim is a visual novel text-based game with an anime style. Created in collaboration with PSYOP, Hooked on You allows the player to date four of Dead by Daylight's original killers, the Trapper, the Huntress, the Wraith, and the Spirit, guided by original survivors such as Dwight and Claudette. Two spin-off video games were announced on May 19th, 2023. The first was described as a single-player narrative game filled with powerful life-or-death choices and is being developed by Supermassive Games, known for horror video games Until Dawn, The Quarry, and the Dark Pictures series. The game was revealed as The Casting of Frank Stone at the Game Awards 2023 and is scheduled to release in 2024. The second game was described as a four-player co-op PvE experience centered around greed and the lust for power, with Midwinter Entertainment developing the game.
A board game adaptation, Dead by Daylight, the board game, was created by Level 99 Games and distributed by Asmodee in the United States. Featuring original characters up through the all-kill chapter from the original video game, one player takes on the role of the killer and 2 to 4 players take on the role of survivors. Players use perks, items, props, and powers to traverse the map in order to either repair generators and escape or hunt down and kill the survivors. Following a successful fundraising campaign on Kickstarter, the game was released on April 7th, 2023, and there was also a comic series. On October 29th, 2022, Behavior Interactive tweeted an announcement for a comic series featuring the four members of the Legion, which details more of their backstory. It is published by Titan Comics, written by Nadia Shamas, illustrated by Dylan Snook, and colored by Emilio Lecce. The first issue was released on June 14th. It is a prequel that takes place before they become killers. In the first issue, Frank stabs a man to death outside of a train, but he is soon woken up from this dream by his new foster parent. Later, he meets Julie and Susie, and Julie tells him about a party happening later. Joey arrives at the party, and then Frank surprises Julie by revealing that he broke in through an open window instead of using the front door. He shows off a bottle of alcohol and says that they should leave the party and hang out somewhere else. They play Truth or Dare in the woods, or Julie and Frank kiss. Later, they decide to vandalize the school with paint and break a window, which attracts the police. They use paper plates to cover their faces as they escape the cops, then steal the cop's car and go on a joyride where they steal hood ornaments. To end the night, they set the roof of the car on fire and then return home. In March 2023, it was reported by Variety that Jason Blum and James Wan were producing a film adaptation through their Blumhouse Productions and Atomic Monster banners, respectively, alongside Behavior Interactive. In a January 2024 interview, executive producer Ryan Turek commented that the film would be informed by lessons learned from the studio's recent Five Nights at Freddy's film adaptation, and to prioritize making a video game adaptation for the fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, as we wrap this up, we'll talk about how this game finished out strong. During its first week, Dead by Daylight sold more than 270,000 copies. The game sold more than 1 million copies within 2 months. And on November 16th, 2017, more than 3 million copies were sold. Jump to 2019, 5 million. And in August 2020, the game reached more than 25 million players across all platforms. This number reached 36 million by May 2021, 50 million by May 2022, and 60 million by November 2023. Now, Dead by Daylight received mixed or average reviews, according to Metacritic. GameSpot awarded it a score of 9 out of 10, saying, at launch, Dead by Daylight suffered because of its reliance on peer-to-peer hosting and absent social features. But over time, it rectified these issues. And while a brief and premature tussle with skill-based matchmaking turned the new player experience into a bit of a horror show, a problem which was fixed, thanks to its community of players, Dead by Daylight is without peer in the asymmetrical competitive multiplayer arena, and has grown into one of the most robust horror experiences around. Luke Winky of PC Gamer awarded a score of 88 out of 100, saying in the 5 years since Behavior Interactive released Dead by Daylight on Steam, the game has developed razor-sharp mechanical intrigue, an ultra-complex web of versatile builds and strategies, and a diverse suite of characters, each equipped with relative strengths and weaknesses. And I think those reviews have really summed up where this game has come from. Coming from a smaller studio, launching, you know, a multiplayer game that, again, first, if you don't know, peer-to-peer is like relying on everyone's connection to computers to kind of host all this. Doesn't work too well. You need dedicated servers in the end. But yeah, you see a game that takes the feedback really well, implements it, and keeps adding features that people want and really listens to the community. And that's one of the biggest takeaways with Dead by Daylight. Listen to the community. Keep putting stuff out for them, and you'll keep having people come back.
Absolutely, and I think that so many gaming studios, it's easy to lose sight of that. Rather than taking the feedback and just sort of tuning it all out and saying, hey, look, like this is the game that we made. This is what it's going to be. Like, you're just going to have to deal with that. They say, hey, this feedback is important and relevant, and we need to make some changes if we want this game to be a success, because that is what is important to us. And yeah, a really great horror experience. I think it does a fantastic job of recreating that almost absurd horror movie scenario that is really hard to take seriously, but I think fans of horror, they're able to sort of look past some of those things and just enjoy horror movies kind of for what they are, which sometimes means that these killers, like you think of Michael Myers, he almost has like a supernatural ability to show up, which is a common theme, I think, within horror movies. I think that this game does a really cool thing of sort of making the killers have that supernatural ability that doesn't often get showcased as actually supernatural in movies, to basically show in real time how these people are able to catch up to each other or avoid each other, you know? Because in a horror film, you can hide that stuff off camera, and then you just look up and, oh, there's Mike Myers, you know, he's there and he's ready to kill you. In this game, though, because you have to keep your eyes on the killer so frequently, it's a little different because the fear is just within being caught, but they can't like necessarily just pop up behind you or anything. You know, it's not Slender Man or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part about it, is like seeing how the killers do, taking those instances of like, there are plausible characters that you can start to get with that, with perks that can kind of jump into those things that might be able to get the jump on you as a survivor. And in turn, you got to adapt to that style. And I think that's so smart at not only giving the people what they want in terms of IP and property, who doesn't want Nick Cage in all their games, but to get these survivors and characters and killers and learn how each of them work. And that's really what keeps bringing people back, is like, hey, I figured out the strategy to beat all these other ones. Here's some new ones that come in that kind of fully disrupts the meta and changes up what was done before and adds different maps, adds different traps, adds all these different things that really change up that gameplay style of it. And so it's so cool to see how this has evolved, because we've seen so many clones come after this. We've seen Predator Hunting Grounds. We've seen Friday the 13th, the game. We've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hello Neighbor. Like, everyone is trying to do the style of 1v-all, 2v-all type games. And we see those adjacent ones in things kind of like Among Us or in Devour or in a couple other games that kind of give us this very much whodunit in a way. Whereas this is much more, I am superior. I cannot basically be defeated, and I will track you down, which is that horror trope in every horror movie we see of this killer, for the most part, as we viewers can see it, is invincible until the second, third, or fourth movie. Something happens, but we're getting that same cool horror feel that you get. And it's unfortunate that some of these ones, I think it was VHS, it might have been called. I think that one got canceled. There's so many cool takes on this style that just cannot get that lightning in a bottle. There's only so many games that can do that.
Yeah. They did, I think, just a really fantastic job of emulating that horror feel. Of course, they're going to want to be copied by more popular IPs, essentially, where it's like, hey, we sort of already invented what you guys had made in video game form, so let us apply our IP to it and we'll beat you in a way. But it's like, you know, there's an originality that I think creates loyalty within that as well. That definitely helps games like Dead by Daylight. But also just, you know, having that studio that cares helps as well. It's, I don't know, it's almost like silly but not sometimes thinking about the horror genre as a whole. But again, like games like this, the heart's pumping too much. Like, I think I could be the killer. I don't think that I could be one of the survivor people. But I really love the ideas behind it. And I love, like, the various things survivors can, you know, sort of sacrifice themselves to, you know, help their teammates. And then, you know, no, I'm going to go back for you type of mentality. You know, there's just a lot of things about horror movies that I think sort of play out naturally within Dead by Daylight that I think are really difficult. It's really difficult to organically recreate that stuff. And they did a great job.
Yeah. Like you said, creating that horror experience. And listen, I'm not good at either the survivor or the killer. I get taunted. People spin around me. I am awful. But I like seeing other people play it. I like seeing good people play it. And I love seeing the new content that comes out. I'm a sucker for new killers. I'm a sucker for IP. And it is so cool to see these tie-ins that truly happen. And it's one of those games that knows how to work the ebb and flow and knows the audience wants. And speaking back to the talk of, like, horror as a genre, let's jump to just movies, television, film, however you want to say it, definitely has the most hardcore fan base, because they sift through the most garbage to get these amazing pieces of film. And that's why, like, you see collectors that are still collecting, like, the 80s and 70s VHSs that were coming out, like getting up these films into the 90s and these VHSs that are only exclusive in that time from it. There's no other digital rendering of it, and they love it. It's just like such a macabre way. It's a masochistic way of collecting this stuff, of only having it in these certain mediums. And I think horror, not to say horror is easy to do. Horror is insanely hard to do. I think it's one of the easiest to break into in terms of making film. That's why you have so many very low budget ones that will never see the light of day, is because you can take such a small budget and understand or learn how to use suspense, learn how to use human fear and interaction for you.
Yeah. No, I think that's really a great point. And Yeah, horror fans, you know who you are, you sickos. You guys are weird. No, I'm just kidding. You're fine. I enjoy the occasional horror movie. I can do horror movies, and that stuff doesn't... It's really like the role-playing of the experience, I think, that gets me. Like, could never really do haunted houses. Have done them, just like, I'm so uncomfortable in those environments. Like, I don't want to be hunted, fake or real at all. Like, that goes against all my instincts. So I can watch that on a screen. I can watch this game. But as soon as you put me in the moment, no, I'd probably be a great, you know, you could just like run an experiment on me and film it. And I would probably give you like great fear reactions because I'd be scared out of my mind as soon as
That's exactly what they want. Want that blood pumping. So as we kind of wrap this up, as always, Derek, let the people know, why did we choose this and what do you think of it?
Well, I definitely think that there was a little bit of a hole in the gaming sphere for games like this until it came along. You know, we've got like a lot of team operative games. I guess the closest one for me is zombie shooters. But yeah, you know, the biggest difference between a game like this and those is the helplessness of it all, which really falls into more like lower budget. You know, think games like Amnesia, think of games that where you're like a little bit more helpless within those games.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't necessarily fight back, like even Slenderman. You're trying to run away. So I think that having this game come out where it's got that team aspect then involved versus those single player games that sort of, I think, preyed on the single player aspect specifically. This one getting the team building aspect as well, but still giving that suspenseful horror feel is unmatched to me. You know, I haven't played this game myself. I'm not going to give it a number rating, but like, I very much appreciate what it has given to the gaming community because I think that we were sort of stuck in a very formulaic type of gaming. With a few breakthrough games that were so like niche and specific to them that we needed a game like this to come into the gaming sphere, help us reinvent scary games in a way that they didn't have to be single player primarily experiences to get a true fear factor.
I think that's exactly it. Like talking about Outlast, Amnesia, all these horror games that do put you in the position of, I'm not running in, you know, with an assault rifle. I'm not kitted out. I don't have weapons I can defeat myself I can defeat these, you know, enemies with. I'm a journalist or I'm someone exploring something. I'm just here to kind of get the scoop and try and survive. And you're right. Like taking that idea of like in all horror for the most part, it is that helplessness. It is that trying to just survive by hiding, running, attempting to kind of fight back if you can, but only in certain scenarios, and taking that and making it a multiplayer is such a genius idea. And again, there's so many copycats out there for these, some that are fun. Like honestly, Friday the 13th has, I think, done really well with it. And then that idea was kind of tweaked and almost perfected in the Texas Chainsaw, allowing you to have multiple characters on the killer's team. So it's actually 4v3 now, and it adds some more of these different perks up of escape, and it really added different elements to it and added some more strategy than just having a flat plane to work on. You have different levels, and it definitely changed the game up for that, and we're seeing it expanded upon, and it's so cool to see this going. It's so cool to see tournaments in it. It's so cool to see indie devs just doing well, and it's so much fun to see games like this expand. So if I had to give it a rating, I would give it a Bill out of Leon times the creepy nurse lady, who's one of my favorites, divided by the clown. No, thank you. Throw the Demigorgon in there because not a lot of people could use it. but then it came back, so you can. Probably out of 10. That's a spooky 10.
Oh, a spooky 10. I like it.
Spooky 10.
A little too spooky for me. I got a little chill just from that 10.
That's exactly.
Research for this episode was done by Alex Kendall and Derek Baker. The intro and outro music for this episode was given to us by our friend Evan Barr, and our lovely artwork was provided by Aaron Shattuck.
Beautiful people, as well as the beautiful people over in our Patreon. You can check us out at patreon.com/finishthefight, where we've got plenty of physical and digital rewards for you to check out. Want to thank a few select members this episode with Snide T-Bird, Nick Hyman, and Anthony Gooch. Thank you all so much for your support.
You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or most likely your favorite podcast listening platform. If you haven't yet, please drop us a review. It helps us out a lot. We love to hear from you. As well as if you are a Spotify listener, we have Q&As for every episode. Go ahead and respond to one of those. We read all the answers and maybe yours will get published.
You can check us out on Twitch. You can see me at twitch.tv/sourman70. That is twitch.tv/sourman70. As well as Derek over at twitch.tv/thebakerman247. That is twitch.tv/thebakerman247.
You can follow this podcast on Instagram as well as Twitter. And we also have a Discord. It's free to join. We're in there hanging out, talking games, talking pretty much anything. There is a link to that in the description of the podcast episode below.
And with that, this has been our coverage of Dead by Daylight. Are there any other horror games you think we should cover? Are there any other breakthroughs that need to be talked about? Let us know. And as always, I am your host, Alex Kendall.
And I am your host, Scaredy Derek.
And this has been Finish the Fight, a gaming podcast.